Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 45.
This week on the podcast, hold on to your hats. It's Inauguration Day, so that's happening.
Healthcare has the most exciting, underreported week ever.
And the White House proposes a great gun control package and is immediately one-upped by New York State. Plus, we've got a fun new weekly segment.
The debt ceiling crisis isn't happening anymore. Go home. Come back in March.
And we've got the return of Mark Sanford, our first introduction to Stephen Colbert's sister, and a Berman Sherman follow-up that we never saw coming.
Plus, gays, the environment, and a nefarious smoothie shop that won't be getting any of our business.
No. All this and more. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter. This is Brain Trust Live.
Happy Inauguration Day!
Inauguration Day. It's today. Well, round one is today. Because it has to be, and then the party's tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
The party slash parade slash what I guess is often a protest as well.
Sure.
During the Bush years, I went to a lot of the I went to all the Bush inaugurations as a protester.
Sure.
There were not a lot of celebratory parties going on at that point.
No.
And also, he would not get out of his car. He just had, like, the window rolled down, like, an inch, and he was, like, waving to the people. All of his supporters were gathered on balconies, and then the ground was all protesters. So he's waving up to his supporters with his fingers.
Creep. Ugh, terrible.
He's a creepy guy.
Anyway.
Also, there's an Algerian hostage crisis going on.
Yeah. We were going back and forth about whether we wanted to talk about this. And I was like, let's just at least let people know that we know. Because it's sort of a big story, but right. We just can't muster up the care.
Exactly.
For it, I guess. It's tragic and we get it, but we're just not talking about it.
We're following it and it's not domestic enough.
Right.
For us. You know, we like, unless there's something that really interests us going on internationally,
yeah.
We like to stick to the domestic news.
Yeah, we're going
to
talk about whatever we want.
We're going to have like an hour and a half of news for you people right now.
In fact, we're not even going to start with what you think we're going to because we just are throwing caution to the wind.
That's right.
This week.
Let me tell you what we're going to start with. Healthcare.
Boom.
Let's lay it on them. the most exciting thing that's ever happened in the history of the world that no one talked about at all
happened this week. Yeah.
And that is that the Democrats introduced a Deficit Reduction Act called the Public Option Deficit Reduction Act.
Yes.
That basically reintroduces the public option, but not as a thing that helps people, because people hate things that help people.
Correct.
This is one thing I've realized
as
I've been talking about single-payer healthcare in New York State for the last few weeks. No one wants things that help people. They don't like being helped.
No.
Deficit reduction, apparently people are very personally invested in.
Deficit reduction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have these Republicans who for weeks were threatening to hold up the economy.
Yeah.
And to hold up the entire government.
Yep.
Basically over, you know, this debt ceiling fake issue nonsense. Mm-hmm. And they want spending cuts. And they want deficit reduction.
So Jan Schakowsky and Henry Waxman, Democrats, are going to give it to them. And they're going to give it to them by way of
helping people.
Of helping people and giving them health insurance.
Exactly.
Because the CBO has claimed that the public option would save, you know, $100 billion over the next decade, basically.
Yeah.
So
that's serious money.
That's some savings,
people. That's some real money there.
Yeah.
Well, this is what has always been a confusing part of this issue. And this is what is sort of like what the Republicans always get caught with is they're so hypocritical because they really won't accept deficit reduction plans that somehow like steal windfall profits from corporations in their opinion.
Uh-huh.
They will only accept deficit reduction if it's cuts from like tax dollars that people are paying to help other people.
Right.
Like they don't want people's tax dollars to go
safety
to services
net, social
for
programs.
People.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they get real invested in protecting large industries.
And protecting
if their priority is deficit
and
protection. Yeah, exactly. And protecting defense interests. If their priority is deficit reduction, there are a lot of ways that we can both help people and reduce the deficit.
Yeah.
We don't need to spend so much money on healthcare at all.
Right.
I love the reframing of this issue. This is what we're planning to do in New York State. This is what my fake group that I'm starting is planning to do.
I know. It's so exciting. Well, and it's also great because it leads me to believe that the Democrats are sort of, you know, hundreds of years later catching on to this.
Yeah.
This plan.
I know.
Because Republicans are good at adding, you know, they'll take some ridiculous thing like, you know, that makes sure that women don't have any reproductive rights, and they'll call it the Women Reproductive Rights Act.
Right.
Basically.
The Women's Freedom and Reproduction Rights
Act.
Right,
exactly. Or they'll add the word patriot onto something
exactly.
to make it impossible to vote against
freedom.
It because then you're, you know, against America. And the Democrats are not good at sort of like
PR wars.
Not at all. Yeah. So this is just, it's not going to pass.
No.
But it's hopeful. Because
it's a step towards reframing an issue that desperately needs to be reframed, because it is an issue, like, it would be good for business and for people to have a single payer healthcare. It would be good to have a public option, which is sort of this, a step on the way to a single payer health plan. These things all reduce the deficit. Yeah. That's what we're all about right now, is reducing the deficit, because we have this major deficit and we have these people that don't want to vote on a new debt ceiling. So we're supposed to be reducing it.
Yeah.
Boom. Plans.
There it is.
Actions. Things to do.
Good work, Schakowsky and Waxman. Although we're a little upset with Henry Waxman. Upset with Waxman at the moment.
We overall still love Waxman, because we're those people. But,
we're his people.
We're his people. Yeah. We're his former people, because now we're Adam Schiff's unfortunate people. but we're having an issue with him this week. We'll explain later.
Yeah.
However, we have other healthcare news.
Yeah, we're just going all in on healthcare.
We're going on healthcare and the healthcare front. Yeah. We'll get to guns later.
Arizona terrible beastly governor Jan Brewer is actually going to accept
the Medicaid funds from the Affordable Care Act.
From Obamacare, exactly.
She joined Susana Martinez of New Mexico and Brian Sandoval of Nevada as a Republican governor that's willing to do this. There are 10 Republican governors that refused. Those include the governors of Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, South Carolina, South Dakota, and Maine.
Ugh. What?
So they have a crazy governor there. Also, they should get their shit together. But Jan Brewer apparently is not quite as crazy as Bobby Jindal.
She's still not going to start the exchange in her state, but she's willing to accept the money.
Fully 50% of American states have refused to do insurance exchanges.
Crazy.
That is crazy pants. Yep. And if you look at the map of where those states are, it's where you would expect them to be. The middle. Coasts are doing it. Then the middle.
And the southeast.
And the south. Yeah, the southeast is a mess. That might as well be the middle.
Hey.
Yeah. No, I said it. No, I said it.
But you can't.
Done. It's been said. I was doing some sort of partnership exchange. It's not a full exchange. It's like some fake exchange. Mm-hmm. So there are a couple states in the middle that are sort of like slightly less crazy.
Sure.
But mostly what we have is the most predictable.
On the whole, though. When we're dealing with just general craziness.
Well, right. No, Iowa is not the same thing as Florida.
Thank you.
No one's claiming that. We are claiming that of general craziness exists in both of those places.
We have a crazy Republican governor right now. Correct. So it's not shocking that that's what he's doing, what he's up to.
And,
but it is shocking that Jan Brewer wants any part of this.
Yeah. Well, I think she realized that, you know, they're going to lose money if they don't accept this money. Like, this is money that's being offered to them. It's not worth not accepting.
Yeah.
Because then they just have to fund their own Medicare program, and like, who wants to do that?
Yeah.
The federal government is going to increase the number of people that qualify, but it's going to pay for 90% of those costs. So like, Brewer was like, I have to do it because we're going to lose jobs. We're going to lose all of the things that you lose when you lose healthcare in a state if we don't accept this money.
Yeah.
So she may be a crazy mummy.
Yeah, exactly.
But she has a line.
Yeah. It's you know what else you lose when you lose healthcare in your state? You lose people.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And that's something that Arizona probably feels, especially Arizona as it exists now, where Arizona is about to become a state that's entirely Mexican.
Mexican and old people.
And so, old people, yeah.
I mean, and the old people need healthcare.
Old people need healthcare. Arizonans themselves like to think that they're above being a state full of Mexicans, even though the entire state is Mexican.
Right.
It's a very weird state where they hate each other a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, she knows what's up. Well, they have a little bit of a Florida. They're the Florida of the Southwest.
They sort of are.
Yeah. They're the warm state that weird, you know, like old people move to and sort of like oddly high numbers.
Yeah.
It's just dry and nice.
Just much less Jews.
Fewer Jews. Almost no Jews, I would guess.
I would
Not guess a popular that. Spot for Jews.
Nope.
No. You can understand why. I don't know where they would be coming from to get to Arizona.
Oh, that's true.
They had to come from the east, and they weren't going to go all the way. They're not doing that. No. It's Canadian and Midwestern people.
Yeah. Yeah. My parents. It's
Brent's parents and their grandma. Canadian friends.
Yeah, exactly.
In any case, one more healthcare story. This sort of is the other part of the holy trinity of healthcare stories that we have
Exactly.
Michelle Bachmann is still up to trying to repeal Obamacare. Ugh.
After barely winning an election.
Exactly.
Sort of like,
she's gonna keep rolling with what's been working for her, which is not doing anything. She can't find a co-sponsor for her latest repeal bill.
Right. The Republican House in the last Congress repealed Obamacare 33 times. And to go from repealing it 33 times to not being able to find a co-sponsor for your bill
is
pretty embarrassing.
Yeah. Or great news for, I mean, I think they came in this session And they were like, Boehner, we don't like you very much, so stop being an asshole.
Yep.
And Boehner was like, all right, I get that you don't like me very much. I'm going to try to stop being an asshole, but it's hard. And they had lost a lot of the fringe people who would, like, work everyone into a frenzy about these sorts of issues. Yep. And I think that they probably, they had a retreat recently in Gettysburg where they were basically told over and over that nobody likes them. And yep. I think they were probably like, we need to look like we're trying to do something this time.
Yeah.
Like, we can't. Because here's what no one talks about. This is not helping anyone. It cost taxpayers $50 million to repeal this 33 times.
Yep.
And for what? For nothing. To make a political statement that they had already made 32 times before.
Yeah, from, like, from the deficit hawks.
From the deficit hawks, exactly. And so it's sort of like one of those things that I think that most common sense Republicans realize they had to get over.
Yeah.
Because it's, and I think, you know, a lot of people have said who were against it, it's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the Affordable Care Act, the longer it stays enacted, the more people start to like it because it helps people.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's what we're seeing. I mean, you know, with every passing day, some new thing that people like kicks in.
Exactly.
So,
And every day a new person learns about that thing and decides that they were wrong for being against the Affordable Care Act. Like, it's just not, before, what they were mostly working with is the fact that no one knew what was in the Affordable Care Act.
Right, exactly.
And now what they're working with is that people know and also don't like them. And so it's like a combination of terrible factors for them.
Mm-hmm.
But Michelle Bachmann, out in the cold, peddling an old-fashioned anti-Obamacare bill,
yeah,
no one will bite.
I think part of the reason why that's happening, besides the fact that, you know, Republicans just don't want to do that, I also think that, to a certain degree, people realize that she's toxic.
Yeah.
Even members of her own party realize that she's toxic.
Oh, well, for sure. They saw what happened to all of her buddies. Like, Alan West is not in there with her anymore.
No.
And also, but by way of comparison, on the fourth day of the 112th Congress, Eric Cantor introduced the Repealing the Job-Killing Healthcare Law Act. It had 182 co-sponsors on the fourth day of the session.
Yeah.
So, that's a major shift.
Yeah.
Because this is still a House that's controlled by Republicans.
Yeah.
In any case.
So
now we'll talk about gun control.
Next story, gun control, right, which probably was the story of the week.
But that was the story of the week, but it wasn't the story of our week.
Exactly. although it was pretty good because we talked a lot about this on last week's podcast.
And we were concerned about where it was going.
We were on their case because all of the signs were pointing that we were not going to get a ton of meaningful things coming out of Joe Biden's sort of meetings with everybody. And the exact opposite happened. They surprised us and really sort of like gave everybody way more than really anybody was expecting. So obviously most of them have to go through the legislative process. So
they introduced something like 32 presidential memos, which I read an article about the difference between a presidential memo and a presidential like signing statement. And it turns out there is no difference, but apparently what we were calling signing statements or proclamations or whatever we were calling them were actually memos, and it was a whole technical thing that I didn't care about. In any case, they signed 32 of them, I think.
Yeah.
Or 23 executive actions. That's and then the rest of these, they'll have to work out how they can actually get bills through the legislature. They don't know if they're going to do it all in one bill or in a bunch of little bills. But
I think they should put it all in one bill, and they should make people vote against
it.
I mean,
I think that they should, because
that's maybe not legislatively the smartest way to go about it, because I think they'd probably be better off to, you know, make
do that first, and if that doesn't work, then you go.
I totally agree. Yeah,
get those people though on the record saying that they don't want criminal background checks for gun sales, and they don't want an assault weapons ban. Like, you'll be
because some of the people who won't want those things will be Democrats.
Exactly,
and I want to know who they are.
Absolutely.
Too. Yeah.
No. Exactly. Among the things that they touched on in these recommendations were that we knew that they were talking about requiring criminal background checks for all guns.
Right. That was the one thing that they're claiming is the top priority.
But right.
But that's the thing that Brent and I
are claiming is like, all right, good. Do something else.
Now do something.
But they also, they're talking about an assault weapons ban, restoring the 10-round limit on magazines, eliminating armor-piercing bullets, which has been a big problem because these guys come in with armor on and armor-piercing bullets and like, you can't stop that guy, you know.
Well, and what I love about this is that so many people have been saying, you know, the Republicans out there have been saying, well, we need a balanced approach and we need to deal with mental health services and blah, blah, blah. So they dealt with that too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's mental health, providing mental health services in schools.
Hiring more police officers.
Police officers. And there's just...
federal gun trafficking statutes. They're sort of like touching on all of the
major areas. Yeah, so you can't say that he's not sort of... You know, he didn't ignore mental health services, or and he didn't ignore...
These laws never do, but you know that if these laws... If all of these things came up in separate bills, they would not be voting in favor of mental health services being expanded. They've already done it once.
I know.
We have a story coming up about how all of these guys who've been going on about how what we really need to do is deal with mental health in this country have all voted against the most recent, like 2010, Paul Wellstone and some other guy, mental health bill.
That
would have done exactly what they're talking about.
Right, exactly. And they're all against the Affordable Care Act, which also has those provisions in it,
exactly.
too. So they can't say that all they want to do is fix the mental health system, because they've been voting against fixing the mental health system for years.
Yeah. No, exactly. I mean, but that's always been the issue. Like, they always say that talking point, and everyone's always like, yeah, right. Like, that's like being like, we need to fix the education system to stop people from, you know, stealing shit. Or, you know, like, whatever kind of claims they always make that are these grandiose claims where they don't actually want to get down to the nitty-gritty. It costs money to provide mental health services. That's why they keep voting against them.
Exactly.
It's still going to cost money in the future. It's not just, like, our good intentions are going to carry us through.
No.
And so, this is going to continue to be a problem. But among the things that the signing statements deal with include, like, a lot of data, you know, cooperation between federal agencies. They want to have the CDC research some of the causes and how to prevent gun violence and stuff like that. That is stuff they didn't really need to go through the legislature for, but is sort of a good supporting things. The president's sort of, like, on a publicity tour.
He is. Well, and he's claimed that he's going to need it, which is true. And I think
people need to be calling their congresspeople and being like, listen,
they absolutely do.
I'm a gun owner and I don't need to have an assault weapon and whatever.
And
call
your Democratic congresspeople too.
Yeah.
Even if they are.
This issue in particular, they're tricky. A lot of Democrats are not.
Even if they're in favor of all of these provisions, then they need to get out there and say that they're in favor of them. Because
They also need to know, like, they need to have the authority of being able to say, I'm against, you know, like, I'm in favor of these things because I'm getting contacted by constituents daily about them.
Yeah,
my constituents are for this.
Yeah.
You know.
But, you know, it's going to be hard because I even saw a story that, you know, we don't have on here, but there was an article about how Bill Clinton was saying, like, that we needed to proceed with caution on gun control. And it's just sort of like...
He's the master of proceeding with caution and not getting anything done.
That is not...
What we need to do.
Whether he's right or not is not what we need.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, we if you want to get anything passed, then you need people out there saying that they're behind the president on all of these things.
Absolutely.
And then maybe some of them do get passed.
Exactly. Yeah, you can't be like, well, we just need to proceed with caution. The Clintons proceeded with caution in every way, and that's how we ended up. It's the Clintons that, like, dismantled any sort of, like, welfare programs that we have at the federal level in this country. Like, they didn't get healthcare reform passed. That's because they were proceeding with caution.
Mm-hmm.
Proceeding with caution with this kind of Congress, it's like, why bother?
Yeah.
They're not proceeding with caution.
No.
Any caution. Meanwhile, though, the federal government came out with these impressive recommendations, and New York, like, totally bitch-slapped the federal government. Because New York just passed a bill earlier this week that is, like, 100 times better than what the federal government's even talking about.
And the way that they were able to get it passed, too, I think is what's fascinating.
Yeah.
And you can probably speak to that a little bit more than I can, because you're familiar with the state politics.
Well,
but I mean,
Andrew Cuomo is a pretty powerful executive.
Sure.
In this,
and he's a moderate,
Slash Republican. But because of that, because it had his support and he was big on this issue, he's been really good about getting stuff passed, which he has to be because the New York State Legislature is a fucking mess. And right now, the state Senate is being controlled by a center coalition because the Republicans, Democrats were having a major freak out a few years ago where they started holding separate sessions and a whole bunch of crazy stuff. And they were having issues with Tea Partiers in that state, and they were having issues with the fact that they have a lot of very far left Democrats, and between the far left Democrats and the Tea Partiers, there was nothing getting done. And I am one of the far left people who wants my people. I mean, my state senator is a far left state senator, and I'm happy.
Very much behind. Stuff
very much behind him. Well, we just lost him, but I'm very much behind his coalition.
Yeah.
But the Senate's being controlled by what I wish Congress would do right now in the federal level, by just a center coalition that's made up. It's mostly Republicans, but it has some Democrats in it, and they're the ones who are getting everything passed.
But if to a certain degree, if the center coalition is doing things like this.
Well, this is then, it's New York State.
Well, it's New York State, exactly. I mean,
the Center Coalition just passed
gay marriage.
Exactly.
Too. I mean,
the Center Coalition is not the Center Coalition that you would think of at the federal level necessarily.
Right.
Or I think it actually is. I think that New York State is actually a really good representative of the rest of the country. People don't really know a lot about upstate New York.
Right. Upstate New York is very similar to the Midwest.
Yeah. It's got some mouth breathers. It's got a little Appalachia up in there.
Yep.
It's got some sort of like far, it's got some rust belt. Like it's got a lot of the things that the rest of the country has. And because of that, it has essentially two major demographics that clash all the time.
Yeah.
City people hate upstate New York because upstate New York, like the rest of the country, is getting all these city tax dollars redistributed to it. And then, you know, city students are being told like, oh, we don't have to pay as much per student as we do upstate because, you know, there's so many of you.
Well, that's true. I think people forget that about New York, and I think people forget that about California, too,
mm-hmm.
because the same as, I mean, California is
we have some real mouth breathers in California.
It's a farming state.
Yeah, it's a farm
really.
State.
I mean,
with two big cities
with
in
large
it.
Cities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But so because of that, I think that New York State is actually a good sort of, like, example of what could get done at the federal level if people were really behind it. There are certain areas in which the city sort of like social politics dominate the talk. And I think gun control is one of them.
Yeah.
We're talking about a state where most of the population, or at least half the population, if not more if you count the metropolitan area, lives in a major urban center. And because of that, people in major urban centers are in favor of gun control because you don't want people with assault weapons walking around when there's tons and tons of people around.
Right.
So because of that, you know, they're good on gun control, but this law is sort of like everything that the federal government wants to do plus so much more.
They basically took the assault weapons ban that they already had
and made it
stronger. Expanded it. They added more weapons to basically what are considered assault weapons.
Exactly. And they're going to stop, you know, for people that already own these weapons, they're going to have to register them with the state.
Yep.
They're allowing mental health professionals to report people that they believe could be a danger to themselves or others, and they're going to empower the police to take away their guns.
Yeah.
Like me and Brent talk about. Like
exactly.
Like breaking into your house
government,
and steal government intervention
goons.
Style. Yeah, government goon style.
Uh-huh.
They're, you know, it's going to be law that if you have anyone who's sort of involuntarily or voluntarily committed a crime in your house, you have to keep your weapons locked up.
Yep.
Seven-round ammunitions are going to be the limit.
Right, and the federal government is going to 10.
Exactly. We heard Cuomo saying, why would anyone need a 10-round ammunition? That's crazy. You're going to need to shoot a paper target 10 times, which he was right about. But so they've limited it to 7. They're going to do extended background checks and stuff like that.
Yep.
They're going to increase penalties for crimes. They're, you know, going to require background checks for private gun sales.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a statewide registration database. The one thing that they did do was prohibit the disclosure of names in the statewide registration database because of that Journal News article that published everyone in Rockland County and was threatening to publish everyone in Putnam County. I'm sort of like, if you want to own a dangerous weapon in this state, like, everyone should be able...
Everybody should know.
...to know who you are.
I think so, too.
Because the thing that we found out from that article was it was so many people that it was not a matter of, like, finding someone to steal a gun from. You could steal a gun from any fucking person in Rockland County.
Yeah.
So, I'm sort of, like, letting people opt out. Like, what is this database... What is in the database if not people's names and addresses?
I know,
like,
exactly.
What are they recording?
I know.
It's a mystery. But in any case, New York State did this on their first day back, I think, or something like that. Like, this happened very fast.
Yeah.
There are people complaining because it violates a lot of sort of like confidentiality agreements that you, when you seek mental health, I'm sort of like, you know, to protect people from guns, I'm going to go with it.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Sure. But
oh.
In any case.
So more guns.
More guns. Stories.
They're, So it was like Gun Appreciation Day or something like that. And like all of the, you know, gun owners were sort of like descending on state capitals and things like that. Like, you know, saying how they, you know, didn't want, you know,
it was sort
gun
of like
bills
passed and everything. Designed to coincide with the inauguration.
The inauguration. And yeah, exactly. So there were some accidental shootings at all of these gun shows
there
this
were
weekend.
There were three accidental shootings.
On Gun Appreciation
that
Day.
Injured 5 people at gun shows.
At gun shows.
There was one in Raleigh at the Dixie Gun and Knife Show.
Nope.
The knife show? Like, guns and knives have to have... They share shows? I had no idea. He had a 12-gauge shotgun. I don't know what that means, but it sounds terrifying. And he unzipped the case
to show the law enforcement
entrance,
officer
and ended
and
up injuring
off.
3 people.
Yep.
In
Indianapolis, there was a 50- or 4-year-old man was injured when he inadvertently shot himself leaving the gun show. And then in Ohio, a gun dealer was checking out a semi-automatic handgun that he'd bought, and he accidentally pulled the trigger and injured his friend.
Yeah.
He pulled the magazine out, but there was still a round in the gun, apparently.
You're putting yourself in danger by having friends who are gun owners. Well, you're putting your friends in danger by being a gun owner and yourself.
And
officers of the law, because one of the people who got shot at this gun show in Raleigh was a deputy sheriff.
Well, and this just goes to prove that Lila and I are right about
everything.
Yeah. But, I mean, specifically on this subject, the reason that we are, you know, saying that we should just take everybody's guns away from each other is because...
You can injure yourself and others with guns.
If there's a gun, you're going to get shot with
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And
if there's not a gun, you're not going to get shot with it.
If there should be a safe place, it should be at a gun show. But no, that's where you get shot. You know why you got shot at the gun show?
Because there were a lot of guns around.
Because there were guns.
Exactly.
That's why.
You would think that everyone would be aware of the safety precautions a person needs to take around guns. At a gun show, that would be the number one thing. You would think people would be the kind of people who know about gun safety. And they are.
I agree.
And this, even if you know about gun safety, you might accidentally shoot yourself.
Yeah, if you are sitting around thinking, God, I can't believe I just shot myself at that gun show, you should stop thinking that, because the reason that you got shot is because you were carrying a gun.
You were at a gun show.
You were carrying your own gun, and you didn't know what the fuck to do with it.
You willingly walked into a room full of guns.
Yep.
That's what happens.
Yep.
And as I've said many times before, guns don't serve another purpose. They don't make you waffles. They don't do anything else that is helpful and adorable.
No.
Or, you know, wonderful for people.
No.
They only injure and kill people.
They shoot.
And things.
You or others.
Exactly. Lesson learned. meanwhile, the Republican claim that we should just focus on mental health issues has sort of reached a hilarious pitch at this point, because it's sort of like all of the big guns are sort of like, have made speeches about this in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And we have a list of people that have made speeches about this in the last few weeks, did not support the last major mental health bill, which was the Paul Wellstone and Pete Domenici.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Pete Domenici. Mental Health Parity and Addiction Equity Act, which was going to require health insurance plans to cover mental health services as if they were regular medical care.
Yeah.
These are all people that did not support the Affordable Care Act, and they are all people that in the last couple weeks have made statements about how the real issue is not our Second Amendment rights.
Mm, yes, it's crazy people.
But it's crazy people. Crazy people have become a real scapegoat. They're like the new people with pre-existing conditions.
Totally. They are.
But this includes, like, typical, you know, Louis Gohmert, you know, is going on. It's all people from, like, Texas and Florida and Tennessee and
Georgia.
Arkansas.
Tom Latham.
Yeah, Tom Latham. Kill him.
Yeah.
People who
are in
history. Exactly. In any case, it's all the typical people, but there's a lot of them, and they all have one thing in common, and it's that they do not support expanding mental health services.
Well, exactly.
Basically.
That's the only thing
the
that
only
ties
thing
them
that
together.
Ties them together.
Uh-huh. They have one degree of separation.
Exactly. Meanwhile, the NRA is continuing to make a PR mistake of itself.
Just debacle nonstop. After debacle. I mean, it's just...
It's a disaster over there. Someone needs to shake them up and be like, listen.
They released this ad, basically, and they call the president an elite... hypocrite.
Right.
Or an elitist hypocrite. And because his children have Secret Service at school.
They were saying, put armed guards in schools, and he's making fun of us, but his own children have Secret Service protection.
Yes.
They're the first daughters.
There are threats against them, probably.
Exactly.
I mean, like,
hello?
Of course they have a security detail.
They're the president's daughters. And actually, Susan Eisenhower, who's one of Eisenhower's kids, wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post that was like, they're targets. Like, duh.
Right.
Like, we had Secret Service protection when I was a kid because we were targets.
Yeah.
Because we were the president's children. Like, go die in a well. Meanwhile, the NRA also released a game for iPhones.
For ages four
and
up.
That's a shoot 'em up game.
Yeah.
Like, hello? Timing.
The timing. I know. Their timing is terrible.
Stop yourself.
Why would they do that?
It's this app called NRA Practice Range where you can, like, go... practice fake shooting on your phone or whatever. Like, I don't know why that was necessary. Also, we've discussed before, the NRA has a history of releasing ridiculously dumb video games.
Despite
the fact that
they hate the
video game industry. They're, like, notorious video game haters. They've released three different video games, all of which have been... I know why they hate the video game industry, and it's because the video game industry is releasing better shooting
better
games
video
than
games.
The NRA.
I know.
Than the NRA. But
jealousy,
yeah. But the app is rated for users who are at least 4 years old, even though you can rate these apps for users that are over 9, over 12, yeah. over 17. Like, I would get a shoot 'em up game, go at least with 12, if not 17, if not nobody.
If nobody.
But I mean, 4, not safe, friends. I don't care if they're teaching gun safety tips. Your 4-year-old shouldn't know enough about guns to be able to understand what a gun safety tip is.
Exactly, yes.
Meanwhile, Ann Coulter weighed in.
Oh, she's... Ann Coulter is convinced that basically, you know, only minorities are shooting each other, right. which is the exact opposite.
The exact opposite of what's happening. yeah, she says that the reason that we have such a high gun crime rate is not because of the white people here. White people are just law-abiding pictures of perfect citizenship. Hunters. Yeah, they're just doing responsible things with guns. It is because we have immigrants.
Yeah.
And then she went on to say that those Fort Hood shootings were perpetrated by immigrants, as if the one shooting that was perpetrated by immigrants was evidence of this.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the major shootings of, like, the last 20 years have all been perpetrated by middle-class white men.
Yeah, exactly.
I sort of am like, why aren't we advocating getting rid of men in this? I mean, she didn't successfully name a female who had committed a mass murder.
That's true. Yeah.
Like, if we're going to use that logic.
Yep.
Let's get rid of men, too. Let's get rid of, you know, any demographic that we can blame starts with men. So.
It does. Regardless of race.
Regardless of race. Uh-huh. Race, age, none of that matters. Yeah. It's men that are the problem.
So, we're going to start a new segment on the podcast because my aunt, who I love, bless her heart, is crazy.
Correct.
And she
getting into Facebook wars.
She often takes this crazy to Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to start doing Crazy Aunt's Facebook update of the week.
Yeah.
And she posts from some various websites that I am entirely unfamiliar with. This is The Blaze. I'm sure it's, God knows what's going on at The Blaze.
Nobody does.
But basically it was about the Representative Steve Stockman, who's from Texas, who basically is going to impeach the president over these gun laws, basically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's his plan.
Yeah.
By the way, was a former U.S. House of Representatives.
Right, like 15 years ago.
Member 15 years ago and returned just to oppose Boehner as Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
And obviously failed at that. And so moved on to trying to impeach the president. He's
going to fail at that soon. He's going to be a total failure.
He's going to be a total failure. He says, I will seek to thwart this action by any means necessary, including but not limited to eliminating funding for implementation, defunding the White House, and even filing articles of impeachment. Like, is he going to pass a bill to defund the White House, and the White House is going to be like, yeah, we'll sign that? Like, that's not a plan.
No.
Meanwhile, this is, and then what he's suggesting, because he knows that that's not a plan, is just more useless legislation. It's like repealing Obamacare.
Yeah.
It's just like nonsense legislation that's costing taxpayers $50 million for no reason.
Yeah, but he's
That's some deficit reduction that we could institute right now. Stop introducing ridiculous bills that you know aren't going
to
pass.
He's a real hero to the right, apparently, though.
Yeah. Real heroic stuff, Steve Stockman.
Yeah, anyway.
Oh, boy. There is more gun regulation craziness, though.
Oh, my God.
Because...
And Marsha Blackburn, who
was
I...
was on a tear this
She
week.
Was on a tear. And I have been sort of unfamiliar with who Marsha Blackburn is, but she really...
She's a Republican from Tennessee.
She took to it this week.
And she was on the news a lot this week, making crazy comments on the televisions.
Basically... on the televisions, yes.
Yeah.
She basically is blaming psychotropic drugs for all of the gun violence.
Yeah. Also, hammers, hatchets, and cars.
Oh, God. Hammers and hatchets.
Hatchets are the worst. Think of all the murders that get committed by hatchets.
Hatchet jobs.
Some of the worst hammers.
Oh.
We're not even regulating those.
I have like 3 hammers in my house.
Exactly. Someone you could be murdered at any moment.
Someone should take them away from me.
Exactly. If they could prove, by the way, that hammers were causing like massive murder, you know, issues, like I would let them take away my hammers.
Oh, yeah.
I have a hammer and I'm willing to let them take it if they can prove to me that it's a danger.
Yeah. I'd give it to them.
Exactly. I rarely use the hammer without injuring myself anyway.
That's true. It should be taken.
Should be taken from me.
Yeah.
In any case, Louis Gohmert also said that by the rationale of banning assault weapons, they would have to include hammers and machetes in the legislation to make it machetes. Machetes are always getting a bad name, by the way. Like, how many people in America own a machete?
Probably
this
too many.
Cuba.
Too many.
They don't. People aren't cutting sugarcane for a living. Like,
it's true.
Like, what is everyone doing with their machetes?
I don't know.
Walking around the subway.
I don't know.
Macheting things? Like,
no.
There's no practical use for a machete, really. It's really unwieldy.
It is.
I've held a machete.
Yeah.
I immediately put it down because I felt like I was likely to behead myself by accident. Because There was nothing that I could do with it that would not have put me in imminent physical danger. Like, this is not how people are getting murdered in the U.S.
No.
You could murder someone with a machete. You could murder someone with a piece of string, though. You can, like...
Yeah.
Use your head, Gomer. your head. Meanwhile, Marsha Blackburn also went on about how we should let the federal government shut down because she doesn't want to raise the debt ceiling.
Right.
This was before she found out that she didn't think that anymore, I think, because suddenly, later this week, we decided, no, never mind, it's not a problem.
I know.
We're not going to worry about it. We're gonna raise the debt ceiling. Don't worry about it.
We thought for sure, and I think even talked about it last week, about how the Republicans were going to basically hold up. They were going to send us, you know,
been all they've done.
We were going to get our credit downgraded. Mm-hmm. They were going to shut down the government.
They
and
seemed
then,
primed.
Just like, without fanfare this week.
They were like,
mind. Oh, that whole debt ceiling.
Well, I think they had their Gettysburg little get-together. Well, first of all, earlier in the week, a bunch of Republican senators...
They were sort of already
starting to talk.
Some of the more
Like Murkowski. And then, you know, like the former Senator Alan Simpson said on CNBC that he was sort of like, maybe it's not a good idea to use the debt ceiling as leverage. And then Americans for Prosperity said it was time for them to dial it all down.
Yep.
So the writing was starting to be on the wall anyway. But you never know what the Congress is going to be up to because they're crazy.
Yeah.
But then they had a little retreat over in Williamsburg.
Realized that
where they were told that they have a very low approval rating and that no one thinks it's a good idea for them.
Do they need a retreat in Gettysburg to be told that they had a low approval rating?
I think that they did.
They did, actually.
They don't believe in math. They're using different statistics than the rest of the country in all circumstances.
Yeah.
They make up numbers.
Yeah.
Think about, not only did they lose the presidency because they can't do math, but like, we just reported last week that Rick Scott was down there in Florida knowingly proffering wrong information, you know, about Obamacare.
Yeah.
So like, they don't know what's up.
They oftentimes need to be told stupid things. We're going to get to another story pretty soon about another meeting that they're going to soon be having that you would think that they wouldn't need to be having.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a little bit.
However, finally, Eric Cantor, as the voice of the party, because apparently Boehner's not a person anymore, released sort of a quote where he said they're going to increase the debt ceiling for the next 3 months to give everyone time to pass a budget. They're basically intending to, instead of holding us hostage over the debt increase or the debt ceiling increase, they're going to try to hold us hostage over spending cuts.
Right.
Which is a smarter strategy on their part, I would argue.
Yes. And Lyle and I sort of disagree about this because I think that they are going to be able to probably get a spending deal. Because I think that because it didn't happen with the fiscal cliff, I think that they were probably told by the president that because they only dealt with taxes with the fiscal cliff. I mean, that was really all that deal had was a tax deal, that they were going to get a spending bill from him or get, you know, some sort of something from him in terms of government spending.
What Brent and I disagree about is whether or not Obama should be playing ball with them at all.
Right.
Because I don't think he should be, because they've proven themselves to be totally unreliable negotiators.
And I agree with that, but I think that also, yes, they are unreliable, but I think that he, you know, he's got to deal with them for another 4 years, and I think that he has other things that
he wants to get done.
He wants to get immigration done. He wants to, you know, he wants to get some of those things done, and I just don't think Biden, you know, there's going to be such fury from them if he doesn't work with them on some sort of like spending bill in 3 months that I think
I'm
that
worried,
they will
though,
just
about
they will
what,
just decide to harpoon his the entire next 4 years.
What the context of a bill that is only intended to decrease spending?
Oh, I don't like it. I mean,
I'm just worried from Obama's perspective. He's not going in with any sort of leverage.
Right.
He's just going in to tell them, we'll cut spending. Like, at that point, anything is fair game. Anything is going to sound bad. It's going to sound bad to us, but it's going to sound bad to everyone. Well, it's going to make everyone unpopular. And I don't think from his perspective, it's like such a genius strategy without having something to leverage it against, which is what he's essentially lost by doing the tax deal first.
What I would do if I were him would be to say, you people are the ones who want to cut spending. So you tell us what you want to cut, and then we can start from there. And because let me tell you what will happen. The things that they will come up with
will be
so crazy.
Yeah.
And we've already seen sort of like the Paul Ryan budget, you know, and we know that it was sort of hated by everyone. They'll come up with something similar that only cuts things that everybody likes that are social programs. And then everybody will spiral out of control about it. And then they'll look like the assholes again. So,
has to make them make the first offer.
They need to.
He's not going to do that, though. Yeah. Think about what he does as a person. He's going to be that guy. He's going to be like, here are all the things I'm willing to cut. Go wild.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, yes, Social Security. Uh-huh. That'll be number one. And then, you know, Medicare will be number two. Like, they're going to cut everything that doesn't need to be cut. Because as we've discussed, Social Security is funded by a separate mechanism. It doesn't need to be cut.
Right. It's not adding to the debt.
It's not adding to the debt.
Solvent for a while. It could be solvent in perpetuity if we just raise the cap.
Like, there's just like a million reasons why that shouldn't even be on the table. Yeah. But you know it's going to be on the table. Because you know that what Obama's going to go in trying to, you know, get goodwill so that he can pass immigration
reform. By 2014, the new retirement age is going to be like 112.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is the thing is like, I don't know if you can hear that helicopter, but it might never go away. For someone like Obama, what he does, the way that he sort of, like, gets goodwill, is he passes things like immigration reform, and he comes out for gay marriage, and he does these things that are sort of, like, only tangible to certain people but sound really good to everyone.
Sure.
And then he takes the things that are, like, the basis of democratic beliefs and cuts those. So, like, I get that we need immigration reform. I'm also, like, I get that gays need to get married. Like, I get all of that. I don't want him to offer that in the place of Social Security.
No, I got
like, that's where his strategy becomes murky. And I think that this probably will be one of those times where he's like, we'll do this now and then I'll pass immigration reform and everyone will love me. And instead, what we'll have is everyone will fall for it because everyone always does.
Oh, everybody else
but
does.
We're going to end up being like, oh, great. My generation's going to retire at age 170. Yeah. But,
well, and the reason that you think that he's going to do this is because
he's
this
done
is
it
what
before.
He does.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. This is his plan in life. Uh-huh. So, in any case, we're worried about where this is all going. Nancy Pelosi came out and was like, stop being jackasses, because she was like, this is not, they're essentially still holding us hostage. They're saying they're going to pass the debt ceiling, they're going to increase the debt ceiling for 3 months so that they can drum up craziness, basically, and then they're going to hold us hostage then. Like, that's, they're still holding the American people hostage at the end of the day. So the Democrats have started to kind of jump on that bandwagon. So the PR offensive that the Republicans are on right now is sort of like, it stopped being so effective recently.
It has.
You know, it sounded really great at first because we were like, oh, good. We're not, it's not a problem. Never mind. And then we found out that it's still going to be a problem just in 3 months. They're just going to keep pushing it back.
Yeah. So here's another story about how genius we are.
Yeah. This is a story.
We have a lot of them.
This story should be titled Why Brain Trust Live Are Geniuses.
Knows what's going to happen before it happens. Because last week on the podcast, we were talking about this whole Chuck Schumer and Chuck Hagel situation, and I literally said, here's what's going to happen.
Right.
And what happened,
what I said was going to happen,
is what I said.
And Schumer was making noise about how he wasn't going to support Hagel because of Israel.
And I said, and we all know he's going to do it. He's only doing it because his constituents, he wants to sort of appease, you know, the New Yorkers that he represents. He has no intention of actually not voting for Chuck Hagel, and that's the case. They had some vague 90-minute meeting where they, you know,
they probably spent the entire time on their Blackberries.
Right, exactly.
It was a meeting where they worked for different issues in the same space, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So Chuck Schumer was always going to vote for Chuck Hagel. And that's what made that whole story so annoying.
Yeah.
Because
he was legitimizing a strategy that Republicans are using to take the rest of us hostage in an effort to make a vague political statement for a bunch of interest groups that nobody cares about at the moment, especially on this issue. We're not trusting the Israel lobby on who to appoint for Secretary of State.
No.
That's one specific issue that has nothing to do with anything.
No.
You know, like it's infuriating that he stooped to that.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm annoyed with him.
I'm permanently
annoyed
with him.
And I'm more annoyed with him now. However, this is the right decision. Well, I guess. I mean, I don't even really care.
Well, this
I mean,
is the
I'm
other
sort of
thing
like, I'm sort of like, yeah, now Hagel's really going to get in there.
I'm like, do
wait,
I want
do I
that?
Care?
No, I don't care about
no,
that.
No, I don't care. I mean, he's a former Republican.
Yeah, exactly.
Gay hater. Like, why do I like him all this? What happened?
No.
But you know what? Chuck Schumer made me like
him. Exactly.
Because Chuck Schumer was
being such a dick. That's what he's done. Jerk.
Right.
Anyway.
Chuck Hagel hates me and doesn't think I should have any rights as a human.
However.
And I'm now supporting him for Secretary of Defense.
Just to piss off Chuck Schumer. God.
Ugh.
Things these people put us through,
terrible.
You know?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there was a Sandy A bill finally passed.
Yes.
But 179 Republicans voted against it. These are all people from states, by the way, that New York State is just, like, bankrolling.
Yeah, oh,
P.S.
Totally.
Like, they can go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
I said it.
And probably from states that have needed federal funds. I mean, you know, probably all of the Mississippi and Louisiana.
Oh, everyone that's had a tornado in the last 10 years voted against this. Yeah.
Exactly.
Aside from just being not in favor of a spending relief bill, it was for $51 billion.
Yeah, they went one step further.
They went one step further and wanted domestic programs cut to pay for $17 billion worth of aid.
Yeah.
First of all, Brent dropped a penny. A. Second of all, those programs probably disproportionately benefit their states.
Oh,
and are New York State question. Paying for their state to have these programs?
Yeah.
New York State is not the state that needs these, like, programs for low-income Americans to prop up the entire state.
Yeah.
Mississippi needs those programs or it's not a state anymore.
Exactly.
Like, they don't have a tax base there because no one has anything.
Ugh.
So
there was also one
they can go
blue dog Democrat from Tennessee who voted against us.
And
I don't have his name, but
he should also die in a will.
We should get his name.
We should get his name.
He should really, yeah,
write him some
off.
Letters.
Yeah. Oh, this is another one of the podcast's pet issues.
Yes.
Here.
Filibuster reform.
Specifically. I mean, I'm...
You're in favor.
I'm in favor of it as well, but Lila really...
My two pet issues of the season are healthcare reform and filibuster reform.
Right. And just generally roads.
And generally roads. That Brent's major pet issue is roads. We're like in agreement about our pet issues, but Brent and I are thinking of starting a, you know, pave the damn roads party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For California.
Yeah.
I think it could work nationwide. Everyone's roads need to be paved at this point.
Yeah, we're looking for candidates to sort of just do whatever
If you believe in roads being paved, you might be right for to run for office for this party.
Any office, really.
Any office you want. No, just run for whatever.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, the Communication Workers of America decided to lead a group called Fix the Senate Now. It's a coalition that is launching an advertising campaign aimed at getting filibuster reform, like, happening.
Yeah, and their main way of, because there's a lot of sort of bills out in the world right now about how to fix the filibuster. You know, you could still have the filibuster, but, you know, you could have amendments that would be able to pass with a simple majority or whatever. You know, there's various different bills in the Senate right now, but they are looking to specifically end the silent filibuster, which is
what
you have
we're
been
talking about.
The proponent of for years.
I have said, and because the silent filibuster is a relatively new phenomenon anyway.
Yes, within the past 4 years, really. I mean,
it has been, I think, on the books since, you know, the early 2000s or the 90s
getting,
or something.
It's only been getting used recently
as a governing tool.
Yeah.
And I am a huge proponent of the actual filibuster. I love watching filibusters. It's like sports to me.
Yeah.
When Bernie Sanders did his fake filibuster,
like
he wasn't even filibustering everything. It was 8 hours
ever,
of
eight however long. Yeah.
Heroic activity on the floor of the Senate.
Uh-huh.
I watched that thing.
Oh, I watched almost every second of it.
Exactly.
And it was during my work day.
I was sitting at work
on
a set as a PA, and I sat in a corner.
Yeah, you should have been on
and got my
runs.
Computer. Yeah, I just sat in front of my computer and watched that filibuster for 6 of the 8 hours or something.
Yeah.
I was in... Wrapped.
Yeah.
And I would be thrilled if Republicans and Democrats were doing real filibusters.
I'd watch a Republican filibuster.
Absolutely. I love a good filibuster.
Yeah.
But I want them to actually have to fucking filibuster these bills. Yeah. I don't want them to just be like, no, we're not going to vote for it. And then everyone's like, oh, well, I guess we can't even try.
Yeah.
So unions, they're spending something like $300,000 on cable advertising just to end the silent filibuster. I know that Harry Reid had been talking about it. He was going to do it as one of his first things and failed. Hopefully, I mean, don't the Republicans know that if they ever get a majority back in the Senate, they're going to be subject to the same nonsense?
Yeah.
They already have a majority in the House, so they can block
anything
they want.
Here's the thing.
Democrats won't use it.
You go. See, I think the reason that the Republicans don't want to do this is because they know that the Democrats are pansies.
Mm-hmm.
And they would not the Republicans have no trouble using it because they have no morals and they can sleep at night.
Yeah.
Without, you know, by
but
doing
the Democrats
this.
Would not
the
be
Democrats
okay with holding
like,
up the legislative
oh,
process
I
for that.
No, we should just let them vote on it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know.
Yeah.
No.
No.
So that's why the Republicans are being bitches about it, because they know we're pansies.
But I want there to be, I'm excited about this advertising because I want there to be like a massive discussion about it.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be a thing that they just do and everyone's like, oh, thank God. I want everyone to be talking about the silent filibuster.
Yeah. Well, and the reason I don't think enough people
know about
it, and they certainly don't know that it's been such a big reason as to why we haven't
really gotten anything done
in this last Congress.
Yeah.
You know, it really is one of the main reasons why nothing got out of the Senate.
It is solely obstructionist. There is not anything that productive about having that there.
No.
And so it's basically, we have a Republican majority in the House. So they have that. So they can know that they have that.
Yeah.
We have a Democratic president. And then we have a Senate that is literally, it has a majority of Democrats.
But it may as well not.
But it may as well have nobody in it because it's only, the only action it ever can take is obstructing bills. It doesn't ever get past that step.
Right.
So nothing ever happens there. It's just boring nonsense all day long. And everything that they pass by unanimous consent so that no one has to be known to have supported it.
I would like to work there. They don't really have to do anything.
No, I know. Well, that's, I have a friend who works in the Senate. She seems very busy, but I don't know what she's up to all day because...
They don't have to vote on anything.
She's not voting on anything. No, she's just hanging around, like, waiting to vote. I mean, they spend a lot of time waiting to vote on things that don't ever happen.
Yeah.
Gives tours to people, I guess. I'm like, who knows what everyone's doing over there right now? We're paying for it, though.
Yeah. So, Tim Scott's seat in South Carolina.
Is up for grabs.
Up for grabs. The special election is going to be happening pretty soon. And we've got two crazy people.
It's going to be the best special election in history.
It really could be.
I think that the Massachusetts special election is going to play second fiddle to the excitement that we will feel about this election.
Right, because it's going to... It's just going to be
awesome.
Because that's a crazy district anyway. Yeah. I mean, only 40% of it voted for Obama in the last election. So it's probably whoever...
It's a Republican seat.
The Republican... It's a Republican... But those,
Tim Scott
was
crazy.
Those
are the best special elections.
But that means... I mean, Tim Scott was crazy, so you're going to get some crazy Republicans who are going to vote for it. And then we're also seeing that, you know, we're going to have an interesting Democrat run because this week we found out that, you know, Stephen Colbert already ran for the president of South Carolina during the Republican primaries.
Exactly.
And got more votes, I think, than
Herman Cain.
No.
Not
Herman. Or was it? No.
Huntsman.
John Huntsman. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But his sister is actually running for this seat, and she sort of like has, you know, kind of credentials, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, she's sort of like, you know, is in the business community. I mean, she works.
She works at Clemson University.
But she sort of like works
also
with getting
environmental
research
and stuff like that for
like from
energy, for like clean energy stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, basically.
But she sort of has like an interesting story anyway. She, like, they're. The parents
died in a plane crash
when she was 19. I didn't realize that.
No.
Then she got married to somebody who ended up on America's Most Wanted list, which we're laughing about, which is actually not really that funny.
No,
but it's crazy. And
it's going to add some color to that election.
And then she was also apparently like at a business conference directly across the street from the Twin Towers on 9/11. So she just sort of has like, you know, she has an interesting story to tell if people will bother listening in that district, which they may not.
Well, I think that they may only because she is... has the celebrity last name.
Yeah.
I feel like she's got, like, Stephen Colbert is really doing her a favor because he's giving her a platform, basically, by just existing.
Mm-hmm.
Because this ran in every major newspaper, news.
Yeah.
And she's just like a random person who would not otherwise have even gotten noticed. But I think I think she'll have a voice in the election because of that. It's going to be
interesting.
And also, people should probably be watching the Colbert Report because
hopefully
he's going to go on about this.
But the other one
there's
is
more.
Probably even, this one's even more hilarious, I think, actually, than the fact that Stephen Colbert's sister is running. But Mark Sanford, the former governor of South Carolina, disgraced governor of South Carolina, is running for the seat. Like, he's making his political comeback here. I mean, if you don't remember Mark Sanford, he basically disappeared for a while. Told his staff that he was going to hike the Appalachian Trail.
Right.
And
his wife, like, was looking for him.
Right. She didn't know where he was. And basically, he turned up in Argentina. He was canoodling with his mistress in Argentina. He has since divorced his wife.
Right.
Is engaged to
this
mistress. But he had to resign. He had 37 ethics violations. He had to pay like a $75,000 fine to like the state too. I mean,
And he's leading.
Oh, he's going to win.
Yeah.
He's obviously going to win. He's going to, and he has the name recognition.
Right.
It's been a while. There will be sort of like enough forgiveness. He probably won't ever be able to run for
a real office.
Much, you know, else. Per se, I wouldn't think, but I mean...
If there's one thing that you can do as a Republican congressman, though, it's have a lot of sexual escapades that get reported and no one ever makes, you know, you never have any retribution for it. If you're a Democrat, you have to resign immediately.
Yes, I agree. Although,
but if you're a Republican, you can sort of do anything.
But I think that you can still sort of, like, make a political comeback, especially if there are some Democrats that I wish would.
Spitzer.
Because I think Elliot Spitzer and...
Anthony Weiner.
Anthony Weiner could both run for a House seat.
I think so.
And win if they were in a, you know, in a Democratic district.
I think Elliot Spitzer could definitely win a House seat. Anthony Weiner lost the House seat. He could probably go back to his old district and just win that seat again.
I think he could, actually. Yeah.
They elected a Republican, and I think they recently have elected a new Democrat. But that whole district is a mess.
Yeah.
And he got redistricted anyway. Yeah. No one will remember.
You know, none of these three people are ever going to be president.
No, exactly.
Which is sad because Elliot Spitzer probably was
president.
Going to be president, or at least probably thought he was going to be president.
He might have run for president.
Yeah.
He probably would have been a good president.
So
I feel good about Elliot Spitzer
but,
as president.
But it's just crazy that he's running for that seat. So I know. Hopefully some more loonies come out of the woodwork for that seat.
Because, if nothing else, this is going to be great comedy.
Yeah, for sure.
And speaking of great comedy.
Oh my God.
Berman Sherman, back in action.
We thought this story was gone.
Dead and gone, and yet here we are.
This rivalry.
The rhyming duo.
Carries on even now in this new Congress.
Berman's out of a job. Berman, who was, he'd been in office for 30 years, like he could retire. He was old.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about him.
No.
Friends. Sherman won partially because the district that they were running for was 80% his old district, so he had a lot more support
there. And partially
there.
Because we endorsed him.
Partially because we endorsed him.
So everybody knew.
Right, exactly.
What they were
we endorsed him specifically over one issue because they were exactly the same in every other respect.
Right, and it was the
Iraq War. Mm-hmm. So, in any case, Sherman goes back to work.
Yes.
Like, he's got a bunch of seniority, he's expecting some committee appointments, getting shut down, left, right, and center.
But because Berman had been there for so long... Basically,
his buddies.
Oh, and this is why we're mad at Henry Waxman because the buddy specifically
that was
everyone
named.
Is saying is Henry Waxman.
Yeah,
basically was encouraging people to run against Sherman
for the Financial Services Committee
that he should have been he had seniority to be on. There were a few committees that he has lost, where he should have been the chairman of that.
He lost out on a spot at the House Foreign Affairs Committee.
Yep.
He was supposed to be on the Financial Services Committee. Like, these were all committees that he had the seniority to get onto, and he's getting shut down by friends of Berman.
Yeah.
Including one Waxman.
Yeah. It's crazy.
What are you up to?
Who cares?
It's crazy.
He won.
Yeah.
Give it up.
It's
not his fault they got redistricted. It's not his fault we have a crazy primary system in California. It's
none of that is his fault.
He got elected.
Get over yourself. He's the same... guy, just less old.
Right. Maybe more angry. But
maybe more angry. Also, P.S., isn't friends with John McCain. Check. Isn't friends with Joe Lieberman.
No.
Check. Like, Waxman...
Those were the people who...
Pull your shit together.
Berman was endorsed by.
Exactly.
And the reason that he was endorsed by them, which was why we didn't endorse him, is because he...
Wanted to go to war.
Led the Democratic charge into the Iraq War.
Exactly.
So, I think that Sherman should be on the Arms or whatever.
The Foreign Affairs Committee. Yeah.
Because
he's better than having Berman
better
on it.
Better than having Berman on it.
Exactly.
So screw off Henry Waxman.
Yeah.
I love you, but I'm not happy about that.
No. In any case.
Oh, another person who we thought maybe we would never report on again, back in the game.
He's going to be back.
West.
He's always going to be back in the game. That man's not going out of the game.
He'll make a political comeback as well. This is not a comeback.
This is
a sham. This is sad. And he should feel bad about it.
He's having what Brent initially described to me as a web TV show, which is just a web series.
It's a web
series.
It's a webisode. It's what we're doing right now.
It's what we're doing. He's basically doing what we're doing, but he's going to charge you $170 a year for access
to watch
it. And it's supposed to be about putting a spotlight on the challenges facing young Americans.
Yeah, it's called Next Generation. They're not paying $170
Young Americans are stealing their parents' HBO Go accounts to watch Girls. They're not paying $170 to watch Alan West.
I think you're stealing mine, actually.
I'm not stealing my parents. I'm stealing Brent's HBO Go account. But I read an article in the Times about how everyone who was watching Girls was stealing their parents' HBO Go account.
That was
a thing. And I was like, thank God I have Brent because my parents don't have HBO.
That's typical. That seems to me like...
Nobody
exactly
who likes that show can afford HBO. Because it's all unemployed 20-somethings.
Ugh. I hate that show.
I love that show. I live for that show. In any case, Rand Paul is...
Oh, my God. This
out
is...
about canoodling with Iowans.
Yeah. Basically, so there was this whole article on Politico, basically, about how he's gearing up for 2016.
Right.
He's speaking at CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee, and where his dad won the straw poll twice.
Right.
But more telling is that he just went on a trip to Israel, and the people that he went with were key evangelicals. Went to Israel with angels.
That's where you'd go.
That's
true. The Holy Land.
Yeah. Bingo. Key evangelical leaders from South Carolina.
Evangelical sounds like evil angels. Continue. Anyway.
Well, that's,
what they're up to.
But the South Carolina GOP chairman, Chad Connolly, that's an early primary state.
Mm-hmm.
The Iowa GOP chairman, A.J. Spiker, and the Iowa Republican National Committee woman, Tamara Scott. Why any of those people are going to Israel is curious.
Why any American politicians ever are going to Israel is always a slightly suspect thing.
You have to.
But why Rand Paul is going there with a bunch of Iowans
is more suspect.
One of the great mysteries.
So clearly Rand Paul is going to be running for president in 2016. I mean, if that...
If he's hanging out with Iowans in Israel, that's the only thing you could be doing there.
Yeah, Iowans get really popular, you know.
Yeah, I know.
It's sort of people.
Sort of infuriating.
I know.
One thing that infuriates me is undeserved popularity by Iowans for what is not even a real primary. For what is a ridiculous system, like a folksy, ridiculous caucus system. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, Iowans are...
You'd love it.
I know. I would love it. I would love if everyone had to stand in a room and vote with their
and then
presence.
You could, and then you convince people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you would be good at that.
I know.
You would be a good talker. In a, like, you could have everybody, you know, fired up and just...
Absolutely.
You know, ready to...
I would work that room.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That... Mm-hmm. If there's any... If I'm ever in a state with a caucus system, I'm going to take it upon myself...
Sure.
...to become the most important person in whatever caucus room I'm mm-hmm. in.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to, I might even travel to other caucus rooms. I don't know. I think it would be a lot of fun. In any case, in totally unrelated news.
Yeah, some gay news.
Some gay news.
This Week in Gays.
Seems
to be, we've had a lot of this week in gays recently. Yeah.
Well, if there was ever a podcast that was going to have a lot of This Week in Gays, that would be
sure.
us.
Yeah.
We're coming to you from West Hollywood.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
They're about to rename the San Francisco, SFO, San
yeah.
Francisco Airport, Harvey Milk Airport.
Yeah.
That's what San Francisco's up to.
Yep.
No one is super shocked.
No. They would have to vote on it.
They would
basically,
have to vote on
like
it. I think
five
they,
sponsors.
I think they have enough
and
people.
Would, like, yeah, they basically
the,
do.
I mean, we're talking about
pass.
The San Francisco Council. It's not.
Of course.
Like, what else are they up to?
I know.
Talking about organic foods, probably, in the Harvey Milk Airport.
Yeah. But this is
yeah.
the best story, because we've been talking about this the last, I think, 2 weeks, basically.
Right.
A couple weeks ago, I was pissed off that the person who was giving the benediction at the inauguration was another gay hater.
Right.
Which
was the second one.
He was two for two with picking
yeah.
gay haters to
and this,
say the prayer.
The first time, he had done it before coming out for gay marriage. But this
yes.
time, it was like, what are you up to?
Yeah, why are you doing that? And so last week, we were happy
right.
because that person had withdrawn their name after they caught all of the, you know, backlash.
Right.
And this week, they've decided that the Reverend Louis Leon, who's an Episcopal priest in Washington, D.C., a church that Obama goes to every once in a while, is doing the benediction, and he is very pro-LGBT,
right.
and the Episcopal Church
generally
typically
is.
Has been. And so that is, and it's just sort of curious to me that if Obama goes to that church when he's in D.C. and
right,
it's
like
close
why,
to the White House, like, why did he have some crazy person from Georgia
from,
or something
yeah,
coming
from Atlanta.
Up to do it? Like,
that's,
it just doesn't make any sense. But yeah. anyway, so... I'm happy about that. It should have been the right choice to begin
before.
With.
But they got there, finally.
They
at
got
least.
There. Yeah.
That's all we can ask of the Obamas.
I guess. Sometimes it takes a while.
Sometimes it takes a while. They
yeah.
got there.
They got there.
In any case,
oh,
we're going to die because of climate change.
Oh, we've, yeah, this is our...
Our other weekly segment
yeah, exactly.
is about how we're dying of climate change. This is the warmest year on record, as we've said. This is the 36th consecutive year with average temperatures above the last century's
yep.
averages.
And every year of the 21st century thus far has been one of the 14 warmest
yeah.
years of the 133 that they've been doing the record
exactly.
keeping up.
So we're basically going to die soon.
Yeah, we're just going to burn.
We're
going to
burn
to death.
Literally, we're going to be in hell.
Yeah.
In other news, fracking is a big disaster.
I mean, not
this
shocking.
This is another pet issue of mine because this is a big issue up where my parents live. And this... is a specific case about something that happened in Fort Worth, which is an area that has a lot of fracking and has had for a while. There's certain areas of New England and the Northeast
yeah.
that are now on the Marcellus Shale that have recently started to get into the fracking
yeah.
fight. But Fort Worth has been having fracking for God knows how long.
Sure.
If you saw Gasland, it was like all sorts of people in flat places that were having their farms destroyed by
yeah.
fracking. Anyway, a guy in a Fort Worth suburb said that his family's drinking water had started bubbling like champagne,
mm-hmm, yes.
which is one of the things that happens
delicious.
When you have a ton of methane
yeah, exactly.
in your water. And so, you know, there was gas drilling nearby,
yes.
And the federal government thought that that might be related.
Mm-hmm.
But then the EPA, after releasing an emergency order in 2010 that said that the homeowners in the area were in immediate danger
yes.
from a well that was saturated with flammable methane, because if you talk to people... who live in places where they've had their water impacted by fracking, it is often flammable.
Yes.
Then, mysteriously, the EPA was like, nah, never mind.
Yes.
And it was because an oil company got involved.
Yeah, because they wouldn't say why.
Yeah.
And so, basically, what happened is that somebody got, the Associated Press got their hands on, like, a confidential report. And the reason that they didn't do it is because the company who was basically doing the fracking threatened not to cooperate with a national study into a common form of drilling or something.
Into fracking study that they said that they wouldn't participate in anymore.
Right. So basically, because of that, they basically
left these homeowners in danger.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened.
Let me tell you what can happen when your water is flammable. You have water running through pipes all over your house. Your house can blow up.
Yeah.
Like, hello.
Yeah.
Guys.
But, one of the homeowners just, he was quoted in the story. He was just like, I just can't believe that an agency that knows the truth about something like that or has evidence like this wouldn't use it.
Yeah.
So basically just under threats. Like, what is the EPA doing if they're not, doing this?
No, exactly. Why do we have an EPA? And also, it is not okay to, allow one person's or one neighborhood to live in horribly unsafe conditions for the safety of a study that you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, you have evidence that specific people are in danger. Why do we have a government if not to protect those people from the big guy?
Yeah.
Like, that's why we organize into governments.
Yep.
If we were all just anarchists and we were just living on our own, that homeowner would have to go talk to the fracking company himself and everyone would turn a blind eye and no one know what to do.
Yeah.
We organize specifically because this could happen to any of us at any time. And if the precedent is that this guy doesn't get it dealt with, then they can just do that to anyone.
Yep.
Anytime, a gas company that's doing fracking can just be like, well, we're not going to participate in your study in Pennsylvania either. And then they'll be like, oh, well, then never mind. We're not going to deal with these homeowners.
Houses are blowing up.
Die in a fire.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. Drink your methane water.
Exactly.
It's good for you. Methane water's good
Methane's
for you.
Delicious.
Pretty soon we'll be having a study from the EPA talking about how
delicious
methane
and
in your water
helpful
is good for your teeth or something.
Exactly.
They're replacing fluoride in our water
with methane. In good environmental news,
yes.
Deval Patrick is talking about doubling the gas tax in Massachusetts.
Yes. Some people would maybe think that that was not such a great idea.
People in California would be pissed. I'm always in favor of taxing gas at a higher rate.
I depend
on my car daily to get around. Like, I know that it would make my life more difficult,
but
let's do it.
I have always been of the opinion that the only way that you're going to get people off of gasoline is if it runs out,
right.
Or B, it's just literally becomes too expensive. Yeah. And the way to make it too expensive is to tax the shit out of it.
It's the same way you make cigarettes too expensive by taxing them.
Yeah.
People stop smoking. That works.
That works.
You know?
It has worked.
It has worked. Cigarettes cost $1 million a pack in New York City, and there are millions fewer smokers because of it.
Yeah. And he's going to use it for public transit, too.
Exactly. Gas taxing gas and using that money to invest in a feasible public transit system would do so much good in this city. I mean, think about where we're living right now. Like, the public transit system here is shitty.
Yeah.
And it's partially because this is a city built by tire companies, and so we're all laid out in the most inconvenient way possible. And it's like, why would I have to take my car to go 3 miles to work every day? Like, it's always been a mystery to me.
Well, the reason you have
to. I can take the bus to work. I can't because I can't get home within, an hour and a half of when I leave work doing that, even though it's a quicker walk than it is to take the bus.
Right.
But, if this were, a pedestrian and public transit safe city, neighborhoods like where me and Brent live would not be as car dependent.
Yeah.
If I could get to Brent's house without my car, I would not take my car to Brent's house.
Yeah.
Because it's a pain to park over there.
Right. But my house is literally right down the street from you.
Yeah.
I mean, not, a ways.
It's a mile and a half or something like that.
Right.
There should
be a way for you to get there in about 2 minutes.
Well, and here's the thing.
That doesn't involve getting
there
in your
should
car.
Be a way for me to get there safely at night.
Well, that too.
That's the issue in LA that I think is not talked about.
Yeah.
Is possibly because men control everything and men never think about these. This is one of those issues that I think is actually, a secret sexist issue that no one talks about. The streets here are not well lit. It's all sort of suburban-y, residential, whatever. And because of that, it's not safe for women to walk around at night by themselves in most of LA.
Right. That's true.
If I, like I can in New York City, could walk from your house to my house at night, I would never drive to your house. I don't need to save the time.
Yeah.
In any case, that's what's going on here.
Yes.
Also in Massachusetts, they're going to tax gas.
Yeah. Right. Back to that.
Back to the point. Meanwhile, This is crazy.
This is nuts because
we referenced this earlier.
We did.
A thing that Republicans shouldn't need someone to tell them that someone has had to tell them.
Yes. The Susan B. Anthony List, which is an anti-abortion group, is hosting a training program to teach Republicans how to talk about rape.
As in teaching them not to talk about it anymore, basically.
That's what I just don't. You don't need a training program.
No.
They just.
Like, just stop saying rape. Stop being against abortion and saying the word rape in your answer as to why.
Yes.
Done.
Done.
Solved it. Like, This is
training program complete. Like, you have now,
like, after the number of people who made this mistake, like, my mind is continually boggled by the election cycle that we just went through,
yeah,
where everyone, I mean, because we're still making jokes about legitimate rape all these months later.
Oh, yeah.
We have to. We have no choice.
No.
But I'm sort of like, my mind is boggled that someone was like, you know what we're going to have to do to get this problem dealt with? We're gonna have to train these guys. We're going to have to have a conference about this. Because otherwise, they'll never stop saying rape.
What?
What? It's crazy.
Oh, boy. Anyway. Oh, this is real. This is sad news.
This is sad news.
Ann Romney not going to be on Dancing with the Stars. Apparently, they had approached her. TMZ reported it. But a Romney advisor is saying that it's not going to happen.
Although they do say she loves the dance.
She still loves the show. She actually went to the finale with her son last year. Mm. Where Melissa Rycroft won undeservedly over Sean Johnson, much to my chagrin.
Sure.
Because Sean Johnson's from Iowa.
Right. That's it.
That's all.
Sean Johnson was the only thing that I understood in that sentence, but I'm just going with it.
Well, that's the reason that you only understood the word Sean Johnson in that sentence is because we're talking about a show where celebrities are dancing, and Melissa Rycroft is not a
celebrity. I don't know who she is, yeah.
Bingo.
Yeah. Sean Johnson, I follow gymnastics.
Quasi-celebrity.
I like gymnastics. Right. I know who she is.
Somebody that people have heard of.
Yeah.
Melissa Rycroft.
Plus, she's been on the show before in a capacity where we were reminded of her presence, and the Olympics happened.
Yeah.
And she was a commentator on the Olympics. Oh, bad commentator, but she was there.
She was indeed.
She went to London.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sat in the Today Show.
So anyway, that's too bad. They should get Rafalka. Rafalka.
Yes.
Instead.
Well, he's a professional dancer, though. I don't know if he qualifies.
I don't know.
He's already a professional.
Yeah, that's true.
And who?
But
would
so was Nicole Scherzinger.
That's true. Yeah, they've had some suspect professional dancers on that show who are claiming to be
NSYNC
other things.
Members.
Yeah. Like if you were a former Pussycat doll.
Well, even gymnasts to a certain degree. I mean, yeah. I know are not dancers, but they have to learn things.
Sean Johnson is not the most graceful.
Ice skaters?
Ice skaters.
Christina Amiguchi?
Yeah, that was a suspect one.
Yeah, well,
Sean Johnson was not
anyway.
The most graceful. Yeah, we learned she's a Romney lover. Let's go die in a while. Yeah. But Sean Johnson was, I think, fair game. She was not the most graceful dancer.
It didn't seem
like she maybe had that much dance training.
No, I don't think she did. Well, gymnasts, as we've talked about on this podcast before, gymnastics is not so much dancing as, like, wild arm flailing.
Right. The Russians, you can tell that the Russians do serious dance training. They don't use it in competition because they're expected to flail their arms wildly instead of dance.
It's a big part of getting a high score in gymnastics.
Exactly.
How wildly you can flail your arms.
But you can tell that they get dance training. Like, they have, like, good technique.
Uh-huh.
The Americans, I'm not sure anyone is training them to dance at all.
No, I don't think
they're doing, like, Hava Nagila over there. Like, any idiot can do Hava Nagila.
I know.
So, in any case, a discussion for another day.
What was our point again?
Our point was
Dancing with the Stars.
And that Rafalka maybe would be disqualified, but maybe not according to the rules of the show.
No.
I
think in our final story, right? Oh, yeah. Oh, this is a good one.
Yeah.
There's a smoothie shop in Utah that has a payment sort of structure that
it's
is
unusual.
Different.
First of all, it's called the I Love Drilling Juice and Smoothie Bar. Yeah.
This guy's really just sort of trying
Should
to
I open
a
an I Love Single Payer Healthcare, like, juice and smoothie bar?
Yeah.
Just be like...
I get it. Well, juicing is a big thing here.
That's true.
I mean, a juice bar. I just went on a juice fast.
I know.
I just had some beet juice
and
yesterday.
And it ended early? Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes, I did. Actually, I did. Yes.
I said this would happen, and it did.
But only because...
It's awful to be on a juice fast.
Only because I wanted food.
Yeah, it's disgusting to not be able to eat food.
I could have done it the last day.
Right, you wouldn't have died.
And I still ate raw the next day like I was supposed to. I ate 2 days raw going into it, and I ate
Gross.
2 days raw going out of it.
That's horrible.
So it was really like a 6 day
situation.
Says
the person who's had nothing but sugar for the last 2 days.
Well, I've been doing a lot of that recently as well.
Well, you had to. You had to make up for a lost time.
Yeah, I did.
And raw diet's not good.
Yeah.
It's no good
but,
for anyone.
Yeah, you could totally do that. I feel like if you were open up a juice bar in Los Angeles that was giving money to fund a single, or not, to not fund it.
I want to open the credo of juice bars.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
The credo of juice bars.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But it would be single-payer healthcare focused.
Yeah. I think you should do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would need to learn how to open a juice bar, but...
Well, sure.
Obstacles, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Figure it out. In any case, George Burnett, who is a pro-oil and gas activist, opened the I Love Juice and Smoothie Bar, or
yes.
I Love Drilling Juice and Smoothie Bar, and donates all of his extra money to the Heritage Foundation and other conservative organizations.
But he charges $1 more for liberals.
Yeah.
And he claims that they're paying it.
Yeah.
Which seems suspect.
Seems suspect. First of all, he's in Utah.
So there's probably
so
not very many coming in anyway.
Second of all, they're probably doing it in a pitying sort of way, where they're like, oh, Like,
right. And if you knew as a...
I would really like a smoothie, I guess.
Like, I can understand as a liberal that if you were like, God, the smoothies are just, like, fucking crack, then you would go and you would pay the money. But not if you knew that the money was going to the Heritage Foundation. No. That's where I feel like it stops.
Like, you're literally donating $1 to the Heritage Foundation by buying a smoothie from him.
There are things in my life that I, you know, would want enough that I would be willing to pay, you know,
there
double
are
whatever
times
it is.
I bought something at Target when they were anti-gay because I needed something and it came...
Well, and it's so close.
And it's so
to.
Close. I had to.
Yeah.
Like, these are things that happen. I've been boycotting Starbucks in New York City for years.
Yeah.
And I'm holding a Starbucks cup in my hand because I suddenly decided it was too inconvenient to boycott it in L.A. because I needed coffee.
Right.
Like, these... We're willing to make sort of, like,
right.
exceptions.
But to actually... To literally walk into something...
To a place called the
more.
I Love Drilling Juice and Smoothie Bar no. where just for being a liberal, I get charged $1 more. Also, I would have to be in Utah to go there, and I just don't see where these
that
liberals
happened.
Are coming from.
No.
Like, if he opened that in L.A. and it made the best smoothies in the city, maybe he'd get a few customers.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe not, but
no.
In Utah, it seems like he's probably just operating a smoothie bar.
Right.
That he calls the I Love Drilling.
Well, and he's getting pressed for it, which is also
pressed.
His plan.
Exactly.
So, we're helping.
Pave the damn roads smoothie bar.
Yeah.
That's what we should
That's
do.
That's it.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
It'll just be like... sort of an innocuous reminder that we need to pave the roads here.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the form of a smoothie bar.
Yeah.
That's what we can do. We found a storefront yesterday in Pacific Palisades.
Oh, we did. That's right.
So.
Yeah.
They're not going to buy our smoothies, though. They're useless.
I got a juice there.
Yeah, you
well,
did
not
get.
At the empty storefront.
No.
At the juice bar.
The empty storefront.
I got a beet, apple,
right,
ginger,
that was a good juice.
And lemon. It was delicious.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. The storefront that we were looking at, though... what used to be there is a store that moved down the street and was a store that only sold, like, little porcelain, like Waterford Crystal, little porcelain, like, kitty cat.
A lot of candles.
And then, you know, statues and candles. And then had an entire wall of pictures of dogs dressed like Napoleon.
Uh-huh.
So.
Oh, Pacific Palisades.
Pacific Palisades is a weird place.
People are just paying too much money for things like that.
That's true.
Not knowing what they do. They know not what they do.
So true. In any case, we had something to remind you of that I forgot about.
Oh, our blog.
Our blog.
It's happening.
We're going to start blogging,
we
guys.
We promise. It's coming out this week.
This is our first blog week.
It's going to be our plans about gun control.
Yeah. Laid out in a form that
could be easily
everyone
voted.
Who can read.
If a member of the United States
wants
House of
to just download that sucker and
uh-huh.
put that right
put
on
it,
the table.
Put it on the floor.
It'll be perfectly...
They could have it.
They could
we
have
let
it.
Let them do it.
Exactly. For free.
Might not get very many votes. But they could do it if they wanted.
So true. But anyway, so look out for that. We're probably going to post it on our Tumblr page.
Yeah.
Because that's where we'll be doing our blogging. But we will post a link everywhere, so you will be able to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, follow us on Twitter.
Yes.
And, you know,
Brain Trust
tell
Live.
Your friends and stuff. It's a new year, so your friends might be looking for new podcasts.
Uh-huh. I've heard a lot of new podcast resolutions.
Yes.
People are
really into it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know. They need something to listen to as
yeah.
they drive on bad roads for hours at a time
yeah.
every day. In any case, we will be here next week. We're back on our regular schedule.
Yes.
And we will have news for you as to how the inauguration did or did not proceed and how big of a party it was.
Yeah.
Last year I had a near nervous breakdown because I couldn't go. I mean, last inauguration I had
no,
a near nervous breakdown
because
I wanted to go really bad. I don't feel as bad this year, but I'm going to be annoyed by the number of people that are posting on my Facebook page about how they're there.
Right.
A lot of my friends got tickets this year. Who do they know? It's crazy.
I don't know.
But hopefully I'll pull through and we will, happy Martin Luther King Day, and we
yeah.
will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.